United States of America. Known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all of the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries, and becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success. This young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities, playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than a million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over a million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the U.S. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s in response to the earnest and sincere invitations of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwest of the U.S. were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert organized by the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. The following year, on December 18, 1998, the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association organized another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, at the prestigious Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California, where the Oscars were once hosted for many years. At this grand occasion, Supreme Master Ching Hai once more contributed generously to two charity organizations, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and the Starlight Children's Foundation, with a check of $150,000 and $100,000, respectively. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Ching Hai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Ching Hai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Ching Hai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. In addition, Supreme Master Ching Hai was awarded the Los Angeles Music Week Certificate of Commendation, the commendation of dedication and outstanding service from the Mayor of Los Angeles, and the highest honor at the 2006 annual Telly Awards. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. From the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters, all are recipients of Supreme Master Ching Hai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Ching Hai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Ching Hai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Boulder, Colorado, USA, on March 9, 1991, entitled, Find Your Inner Master.
Once the soul is awakened, does it stay actively awake?
Yes. Always. Always. The body will sleep. The mind will get sometimes entangled in other pursuits, but the soul never does again. Once awakened, it's always awakened. But even then, we need a cooperative mind and body and emotion in order to work best, to benefit the world more with the soul's directing power. Yeah. Therefore, after initiation, even when we have a taste of enlightenment and know ourselves, we still continue with the training in order to make the mind habit to the enlightened way of the soul and not to sink down again to the physical level and the worn-out conception and the habit-forming way of doing things.
Please explain God realization level without having karma attached.
Without having karma attached? Well, the simple reason is that God has no karma. Karma arises only through our actions and reactions and our attachment to what we do and the success and failure thereof. Otherwise, there's no karma. God has no attachment, therefore God has no karma. Maybe He is attached to His children. But we know that when we ask Him, when we go to Him and ask Him directly, all right? Now we don't discuss.
Will you please explain what the term bodhisattva means? I might be...
I already explained. No? Will you please explain what the term bodhicitta? Bodhicitta means the enlightened mind. Yeah? The Buddha nature. That's what it is. Bodhicitta.
What is the Kuan Yin method?
Kuan Yin method is a non-method method, just because we are in the world, so we have to call it a method. Otherwise, how can I tell you? But when you have this method, you just effortlessly be in yourself, and it will enlarge your own realization about how great you are, and it offers you wisdom for everyday works as well as knowledge of the universe. You know everything you need to know. You will solve every problem that necessary for your growth without much effort. In another word, the master will do everything for you. The master is your real self, manifested outside as a physical body, but inside it is God power. It's for you. And when the master wakes up, the house will be in order again. So we will not be in chaotic state of mind. We will not suffer too much for the things that we cannot solve. Even we will not be puzzled as the question of where will I go after death? Or where was I before I was born? Even in accidents, the master will be there, take care of. Even in your operation room, even everything. The spiritual aspect and the physical daily life aspect will be different after you practice the Kuan Yin method, because you are in yourself again. You take charge of your life fully. That's what the Kuan Yin method is. Truly, it is without method. It's just that the king is given his power again to do his work, to reign his country, as to govern his own government. But the king can come out only when another king is there. Actually, I am just yourself. I'll help you to understand yourself. And that is the Kuan Yin method. Without the master, Kuan Yin method is not. No method. That's why when we do the initiation, the method is transmitted through complete silence. There's no words, no actions, nothing to do, no mudras, no mantras. You understand? The self alone is awakened and reveals in splendor. It is light. It is melody. You understand? This is vibration of the universe. It is not physical. It is not emotional. It is not intellectual. It's nothing that we can speculate. We just know it. The self knows the self. Just like when we wake up after a dream and then we know that we are Mr. X and Mrs. W, for example. Okay? Yeah. No need to explain at that time anymore that you are Mr. X or Mrs. T. Because you know yourself. That's it. That is the time. That is when we practice Guan Yin method. We know ourselves.
I'm not sure I understand what taking initiation is, what that means.
Initiation doesn't mean a truly initiation, really. It's just causal because of the worldly language. There is no initiation of the such. Actually, you just come here and let me help you to understand yourself. That's all. But that's what call initiation. All right? I don't know what else I can call it. Maybe you can call it. Well, just like you enroll in the universe and let the professor teach you to become a professor. All right? We can call it enrollment. You see, you just come in and sit in a room and be explained what you do from today and after tomorrow in order to contact your great self every day. This is what we call initiation. At the time of initiation, so-called initiation, you let yourself be known by willingly sit there and let the master open the inner door for you so that you know what yourself is, what God is, what the God light is. Like in the Bible, it says, when a saint knows God in the Bible, yeah, it says, wow, he's like a flame, bright flame. Or his sound, his voice, like the sound of many water, the sound of thunders, etc. So at the time of initiation, you experience these things and more in order to know God and get God realization by and by. Actually, you get God realization today, but you cannot do it once and remember because we have been ignorant for too long. So we have to repeat the experience daily and polish it until it become a perfect diamond. Yeah? Then we call we are completely enlightened. Yeah? So that is a so-called initiation. But there's nothing done in that process. Just the soul speaks to the soul. God teach God. Yeah? The God within you recognize the God within me. And they both speak to each other and tell each other what to do without us intervene with the mind and the human language. We cannot do anything in this affair. That's what's called initiation. All right?
Hello. It's good being here. I hear you saying that we don't need initiation, and yet I understand what you're... I think I understand, or I feel I understand what you're saying, but yet I'm not clear whether you're saying that it's a need or a necessity or a must to be a vegetarian.
Yes, it is.
One must be a vegetarian in order to be enlightened.
Yes. No, one must not. But in order to be a complete enlightened after a long run, we should be compassionate. Enlightenment includes compassion. That's
so how
all.
About a person who would, under various circumstances, not particularly be an orthodox or a strict vegetarian, or might even have a cup of wine or a glass of wine? I mean, not living, you might say, an orthodox or strict way, and yet are they capable of, is their freedom valid, or are you saying that it's invalid if a person is awake and yet might have meat or drink or something like that without being an addicted person? Like most of us here.
I don't know any such person. Maybe you are the first enlightened master who eat meat and drink wine. Or you can try.
I feel very humble here with you. I'm not claiming to be enlightened.
Yes. I'm not playing either. I'm just joking to make it light. I don't want to feel to sound too accusing or like I'm the perfect one who dictates you what to do. Yeah. I look at all things humorously. Yeah. But I guess one, you know, the word orthodox means in the righteous way, the right way. So if we don't live an orthodox life, maybe we couldn't get an orthodox enlightenment. What do you think?
I'm asking you the question.
Yes. You see, my head is all white, right? It should be white like this. Even if a little speck of black make it imperfect. So we will be intoxicated with the wine, the ambrosia, the nectar of God. We have no need for this cheap substitute any longer. Should we still feel in need of that, that means we still not yet completely satisfied with God's nectar. That's all. That means we're not yet really there.
Can you actually dilute something that is that pure? Can you really touch the enlightened mind, which is absolutely free, by anything when you have that awakened mind? When anything enters into the light, doesn't it just dissolve?
I understand. Provided we have that light.
Well, it's just a...
Mm-hmm. But in order to reach the light of the sun, we must open the door and stand in the door, or at least look through the door. Now, if the door is there, do not blame the sun for not dissolving the door for you. Understand? Yes. Substance have different quality. Now, if the door is not as powerful as the sun. Yes, the sun we know that can pervade everywhere and dispel the darkness of thousand years. If the room is so dark for thousands of years and the sunlight come through, then even thousand years of darkness will be dispelled. But should we put the door or cover the room with dark things, with the many doors and bricks and things like that, the sun cannot penetrate. All right?
It's what you said, that once you have experienced the consciousness or the awakened mind, that you could never be unconscious. So therefore, if
yes,
Buddha nature is
understand.
Within all people, how does one not have Buddha nature constantly and at all times?
We do have it now. That's the trouble.
Right, but you're saying once
we already have it, but because we are blocking it with all these kind of obstacles.
No, but you said that when you have soul consciousness, when you have that kind, you never fall from it.
We have it now, but we fall all the same.
You said before.
Because yes, but we must know the way not to fall again. That's why I offer.
But it's your nature.
Now, at the moment, we already have God consciousness and Buddha nature. Not that we don't have. We have it all the time. It's always with us. But because we are looking in the other direction, therefore we could not see. Now, when we want to see it, we will have to look in the other direction. And the direction is not that direction. Therefore, why we do not know God, Buddha, nature now? Because we're living in a way that is inappropriate to the revelation of it. Therefore, for example, meat, wine, or this clouded our consciousness, make us confused, let us not easy to understand who we are. You see, now the meat and wine and all these things, unhealthy things that clouded our consciousness and prevent us from knowing our great self, like the door that we block and other things to block the sunlight. The sun will not force his way through the door. It's not his nature. If you want to know the sun, we must open the door. So now I have, not I myself, but it is God's law that forbid it, killing. Yeah? Thou shalt not kill. And he doesn't say killing a human only. It means killing any living thing. A vegetable, when we cut them, also a kind of killing. But because the vegetable has very less consciousness. And once we cut a branch, it grows three more. Therefore, it's not a loss of business. You understand? Once we cut an animal legs or head, it won't grow three heads more. So we know there's not a natural way to eat and preserve life from death. So we cannot eat death body to want to find life. Now, vegetable has also life. But the feeling of suffering and the attachment for life is less than in animals, in those living beings. Therefore, once when we eat vegetable and we meditate, our merit and light could observe that, but cannot. We cannot meditate just for 2 or 3 hours a day and observe the big karma of killing a life. You understand what I mean? A conscious life who has attachment and passions and everything else with it, and hatred as well. Animals have. We cannot absorb all that with just a few hours of meditation. But we could do it if we incur some karma, small karma, by eating vegetarian diet. It doesn't mean vegetarian has no karma. You understand what I mean? Everything include destroying any kind of living life in this planet, incur karma too. But then it's too small, we can cover it. Just like we own somebody $5 and we earn 500, then we can pay. But if we own 5,000 and earn only $2,000, then we had more debt every day. You understand?
It's very helpful.
Mm.
I really respect you, and I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Yes. It is helpful to be vegetarian, but the vegetarian diet doesn't bring us to Buddhahood if we do not meditate in the right way also. I understand what you say. It's right. It's correct. Vegetarianism doesn't bring us to Buddhahood. Otherwise, cow would become Buddha. It's true. Yes.
But just as my curiosity, I just was wondering, can an enlightened being, as I feel you are, could an enlightened being, if they wanted to, I know it's a tricky question because in a way they wouldn't want to.
Yes.
But if they did eat meat or had a drink,
yes,
would that interfere with their awakened mind?
It probably wouldn't, yes. But the thing is, if they need to do it for some special purpose, you understand? They know what they are doing is okay. But most people do not know. They eat only for the satisfaction of their palate or by the dictation of the habit. Then we incur karma anyhow. But the enlightened person, sometimes probably exceptionally in some case, they would do some things out of ordinary. But they know what they are doing. Not because they deliberately want to do it for their own selfish interest. Probably. It happened. Yes, I know it happened, but very exceptional case.
That was very satisfying. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. But do not make an excuse that the Master Qinghai say that and go outside and say, I'm enlightened. I do what I want. Okay? He asked for special case only. Yes. And only the Master knows what is a special case. All right? Mm. In my book, by the way, what's your name? Yes. Eddie, in my book, I also explain more. It's not my book really, my disciples, they wrote it from my tapes or something. It is explained more about vegetarian diet. Yeah, and it also, I remember maybe also tell you how to dissolve the chemical substance in the vegetable to help us more in health and consciousness. In case if it didn't say so in the books, because I forget everything what I have said. And the books, I don't know what is inside. But I just remember that there is vegetarian columns in it. And in case it didn't say about how to dissolve the chemical that he just mentioned, you put the vegetable or fruit into salty water, yeah? Very salty water, and let it soak for 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. And later wash again with clean water. And that helps to clean most of the chemical substance in the vegetable. And it's better for us, okay? Most of vegetable and fruits now, they have chemical substance, is that right? Yeah, it's difficult to find. And so you soak it in water. Whether it has chemical or not, it helps anyhow, yeah? Soak it in salty water for 3 to 5 minutes and wash again, and it's safer, all right? It's good that you mentioned that. Most of vegetable nowadays is full of chemicals. This is unsafe for our body. And when our body is affected, it's difficult to concentrate, to meditate. Is that right?
There's a theory that something people cannot manage without, some people eat animal protein.
Yeah.
And some do not. And if one has been using that, could they have a gradual transition?
To vegetarian. Well, you see, nowadays, some so-called doctors still are very inclined to the old theory that people need meat to survive. But you can find plenty of books, research from other scientific work, yeah? Many other doctors who say that meat protein is harmful, toxin, deadly to the body. And they have proof, 1001 of it. So do not listen to one theory alone and be convinced in it. We don't need at all meat diet. Not at all. Yes. Actually, many people are cured after the sickness after vegetarian diet, if they are courageous enough and listen to the other theory. We can be hypnotized into convinced of one type of theory and convince ourselves in that theory, and when we believe, then we believe that meat is essential to us. It's not true. It's not true. We have to read the other direction and hear other people what they have to say. Yes. You know, there are two hospitals in Taipei made by the American doctors, completely vegetarian, for all kind of sickness, all patients, even doctors, nurses, and workers in there are all vegetarian. Nobody die. They only feel better. Well, how about that? Yes, no one truly needs meat diet. Even the tiger can be vegetarian too, but he never tries. Yes?
Well, I have two separate questions, and I'll just ask them both at once and let you answer them both.
Yeah.
How do you classify fish? Are those considered meat as well, or it can... Is that something okay to eat? And then the other question is, how long does...
One at a time.
Oh, now, okay.
You want to include fish in vegetarian diet, is that right?
I'm just wondering how you...
Well, fish is not vegetable anyhow.
Well, it's not meat either.
So no need. It's meat.
Oh, okay.
It's fish meat. It's animal protein. We can't say fish is vegetarian, no? A vegetable, no? It's not. Yeah.
Well, my other question was, how long does the initiation last?
About 2 or 3 hours. The initiation lasts only a few minutes, but but the instructions sometimes, you see, because you have to meditate and deal with your daily life and meditation after initiation. So we have to tell you everything in case we don't see each other again, in case you don't want to see me again, or maybe I die tomorrow. So I have to tell you many things, practical, and introduce you to different levels of the universe so you will recognize where you are when you meditate or when you rise up there. That's all. The initiation doesn't need any words, actually, and doesn't need any minute. But just sometimes, because it's difficult for you to just sit and immediately arise or concentrate. So we allow you sometimes for half an hour or some 20 minutes, 40 minutes, like that, you see? Allow you to settle down and feel what you are, yeah? And know where you are. That's all. And that's why all the instruction and all these hours. All right?
You've spoken quite a bit about soul. Do you believe in an abiding soul?
Or what?
Or are the skandhas empty?
And what?
Or is there no single pure abiding essence in each person?
It's difficult to tell you this, yeah? I only believe in God consciousness, that the only one essence, and it manifests itself in different shapes, yeah? In order to make the universe more lively, more beautiful, okay? But only one essence, yeah? Not even soul, okay? Soul is still a separate existence from God. In order to know God, yeah? Once we're back there, we are just it. All right? But the soul exists.
Hi, thank you for coming to Boulder. I have a question that comes from the sheet. And number 2 says, never use the spiritual power to cure others' illnesses.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you could comment on that, particularly living in this community where so many people do heal by hands-on healing and other types of healing.
Mm-hmm. See, if you want to be a healer, if you want to take a position as healer, then do heal. If you want to know the whole, including healing, then you must leave it for a while. Until you know the whole, then you can heal. Like heal, but without healing. People just see you and get healed. You don't need to do any hop-la-hop or touching or messing with their magnetic field. And sometimes creating a mess. And when that person is ready at that moment to be healed, without messing with the magnetic field or interfering with the karma of that person, and therefore even some cases speed up their progress. But in ordinary spiritual healing, you know, it's difficult to cleanse the whole house because the healer does with some sense of ego and therefore infested some of his own understanding level or karma or even burdens in the patient. So he might get healed from one sickness but get the other present gift at the other hand and incur more complication in the long run. And also, when a person gets healed by a spiritual healer, he believes in that spiritual healer instead of believing his own God's power and awaken his own healing power within himself. That's dangerous for both, for the healer and the patient. The patient believes in the healer gets more ego. Yeah? So the best way to heal a person is to become Christ, heal with a healing. Jesus did not stay there and do this and that and other. He is just a healing power himself, and he heals without healing, heals without knowing. Many people say, I heal the sick and cure the blind and things like that. But I tell you the truth, I don't know anything about it. Therefore, it spared me of pride. Okay? I'm happy that they get cured and that I don't get the burden of pride. Understand? So, be the healer of all things, not just sickness. That's why, if just like when a person wants to proceed to become a doctor, a medical doctor, then he cannot at the same time work as a nurse and earn money from it. You understand what I mean? He must not. He has to pursue with his study for the medical degree. He cannot because of the money and the immediate benefit of being a nurse to the patient. It looks beneficial too, but then he will not become a doctor and knows all about medical care. Yeah? He will be on a nurse only, and it's limited. Alright? So in our path, we pursue the whole, and then we have everything in it. So in the healing path, they pursued only healing for the sickness, and they forgot the other. Yeah, 99.9% of the power of God's consciousness. Therefore, we say leave it.
Thank you for joining us on today's Words of Wisdom. Join us tomorrow for another fascinating and inspiring lecture by Supreme Master Qinghai, entitled The Beautiful Tradition of the Indian People, delivered in August 2007 in Paris, France. And now, please stay tuned for A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, only on Supreme Master Television. May God bless you with the gifts of truth, virtue, and beauty.